Hi, Mort. My name is Angela.
Hello, Angela.
My question for you is whether or not my husband and I should be living together, particularly while taking this class. We've been separated for 6 months, and he has asked that I move back in with him, and I wanted to get
Is
your
your husband on
perspective
the
on
call as well?
it. He's not. We signed up to do the dual class, but he has complained each time we've logged in and has been non, hasn't not really participated.
He's
I'm kind of
compl
doing
why
it
is
on
he
my own.
complain why is he complained each time he's logged in? A problem with the teleconference?
The time, he says he's tired, he's
Oh, I
exhausted, he
see.
wants to go to
Okay.
sleep.
Well, he should know, and I guess he'll hear me say this. You know, no pressure. That's why we record these. And an audio file is placed on your members-only website, and you can listen to them at any time. So nobody should feel any pressure. I know for people out on the West Coast, it's 6 p.m. You know, a lot of people are just finishing up work or in the middle of dinner. Don't stress yourself. And it's just it's a full recording, and so he's not missing anything by listening to the recordings. Anyway, I'm so happy to hear that your husband is inviting you home. Are you open to going home?
I am. I just feel like I would lose any type of leverage with regard to our marriage situation if I move back in. We have two small children. We have a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I don't want to make it complicated for them if we're still working on issues that are
Now, you said two things there that confused me. One, I want you to explain what you mean by leverage. And number two, are you suggesting that being separated is less complicated than being together for the kids? That strikes me as ironic.
Good question. I guess I would like him to participate in this class with me. And when he asked me to move back home, I said, sure, I will. But we must be doing something to work on our marriage. And I asked him if he would do this course. And I said, I believe at the end of this course, I will be in a position to move back in with you. I truly believe it. I looked at your website. I've read what you've had to say.
So I'm going to challenge you on this, okay? Okay. I want you to take an honest look at what you just said and the way you're handling this, and I think you'll see that that's manipulative. And you use the right word. I was hoping that you use the wrong word, but you're exactly right. That is, you're trying to leverage. That's manipulative. That's controlling. You don't want to be that kind of woman. That's not the way you want to get things done in your life, certainly not in your marriage. I understand you want your husband to participate in the program. I don't blame you. And I hope he chooses to. But he needs to choose to because he wants to. And he's open to it, ready to grow and learn. Not because he's being cajoled. And you might end up regretting that too, because let's be honest, participating in a program like this, it's not like paying a fine or giving charity. When you pay a fine or give charity, really the only issue from the perspective of the receiver, let's take God out of this for a second, is whether or not you've paid. Right? Like, did the check clear, And as long as the check's cleared, it really doesn't matter why you did it, what your attitude was, or anything like that. It just, you just have an obligation to do it. But with something like this, it's like the courts sometimes legislate marriage counseling. I frankly never understood this. Marriage counseling, marriage fitness therapy, sometimes character development, personal growth, it's inherently voluntary. You can't legislate it. Oh, sure, you could legislate somebody you could force them to sit there. You could have a marriage counselor sign off, yes, he sat there for 6 hours. That accomplishes nothing. The point of the program, the point of marriage counseling, the point of therapy is not just to, for the person to have a physical presence. it requires an emotional and mental participation that you cannot legislate, you cannot manipulate, you cannot control. And so I don't think you're approaching that right. I understand your desire for your husband to participate. Let me say a couple of other related matters, and then I'm going to circle back and answer your question about the separation very directly for your benefit and everybody else's. And this is very common for people that are in the duo track with an uncooperative spouse. And that is, since they joined in the duo track and have the expectation that their spouse was going to participate, it sometimes is very difficult for them to move through the program unilaterally. They tend to take the exact approach that you're taking, which is that, hey, you know, we're supposed to do this together. I want to do this together. But I think you're underestimating the impact that you doing it unilaterally could have on your husband and on your marriage. And sometimes I find that it's those unilateral efforts that's exactly what's needed to motivate the other spouse to really dive in. Again, I don't want to underestimate it. It's always better if both husband and wife are doing it together. I understand your desire for that to be the case. But if it's not the case, work from there. Like in other words, be productive with where you're at. What's the most productive thing that you could do now? And I would say the most productive thing you could do is not to try to control or manipulate or cajole your husband to do it. Invite him? Okay, yeah, great. If he wants to do it, embrace him. Okay, yeah, great. But don't, you know, freak out or hold out on him. If he doesn't, that won't be productive. It'll just make it worse. And you'll lose out either way. Either he'll hold his ground because he'll take the attitude that, like, you're not going to control me, you're not going to decide for me, which will be a stalemate. Or could even be worse, he'll just concede to get you off his back, but his heart really won't be in it. And that'll be terrible also. Mm. Getting back to the separation, I would recommend to you go home. Why? First of all, you're the one who moved out, correct?
He filed the paperwork, had the affair, and I moved out because we were going to sell the home. So, yes, I did. Okay. I moved into another home, yes.
Yeah. So my advice to you would be to go home immediately. It's the right thing to do. The truth is that, in my opinion, you shouldn't have left to begin with. Leaving your home, leaving your husband, leaving your family, should have been a violation of your values. That's an act of abandonment. A separation is never helpful. It accomplishes exactly what it describes. It separates people. It's divisive. That doesn't mean that if you're separated, you can't and won't reconcile. Sure, I know about 50% of you are separated, and most of you will succeed to reconcile. But in my opinion, reconciliations like that occur despite the separation, not because of it. And so if you're looking to do what is in the best interest of the potential of the marriage, you should go home. And all of you, by the way, should do everything in your power to try to avoid a separation. Now, it's not always avoidable. I mean, you're not in total control. Your spouse is not your child, they're your spouse, and if they decide to leave, you know, they leave. But you should never leave. You should never, ever, ever abandon your family. And I know that's a harsh word, and I know, Angela, that when you did it, the last thing you had in your heart was a sense of abandonment. I know that was not your intent, and I know by using that word, it's a provoking word, and I'm pushing a button. I'm doing it on purpose. Because even though I know that's never what people intend, I use that word because that is, in fact, what you're doing without realizing it. And I'm putting it that way so you realize that you, without realizing it, you did violate a value that you hold dear. I'm dealing with this with a gentleman, a wonderful gentleman I've been having sessions with for months, in a very difficult situation. His wife is pressuring him to move out. And he was ready to do it. He came to me today with this plan. He was going to stay in New York City where he works during the week and just come home on the weekends. And she was excited about that. That's what she wanted. By the end of our session, he was fortified and ready to stand up to that and say to her, you know, I can't be party to that. I can't have anything to do with that. It's a violation of my values. I will not abandon my family, my children. I can't have that on my record. I can't have that on my conscience. I can't have that as part of my legacy. I can't have that as an example to my children. It's just simply wrong, and I won't do it. And I have another guy and another a man and a woman, separate cases, who they had already moved out. They did that before they got to me. And in my work with them, I have helped them muster up the strength and the courage to go home. Now, Angela, for you, it's easy to come home. You're being invited. But in those two cases I just mentioned, they're not being invited. But I had to explain to them, you don't have to be invited. That's your home. That's your husband. That's your wife. Those are your kids. That's your house. You don't have to be invited. Go home. That's absolutely the right thing to do. Now, of course, there's going to be 48 hours of hell to pay, right? Because your spouse is not going to be happy. But in the long run, it's the best thing to do for your situation. Remember, I don't really care, and neither should you, what the state of your marriage is this week. Try not to get over emotional about every single twitch in your situation. My job is to help you get from where you are to where you want to be 6 months from now. And oftentimes that means that you've got to do things that your spouse may not want you to do. But just because they don't want you to do it doesn't mean it's not going to work. Very often you've got to do things where it's clear things are going to get worse before they get better. But don't be seduced by the short-term feeling of relief or pleasure or satisfaction. Instead, keep your eye on the target. Make sure what you're doing will be in the best long-term interest of your situation. And in this case, what is absolutely in the best long-term interest of your situation is to be together. I know there's a lot of work to do on your marriage. I know you want your husband to participate in the program. You'll be in a much better position to do that work and to inspire him to join you in the program if you're home. And in addition to that, I'm kind of repeating here in a summary, but in addition to that, not only tactically is it the right thing to do to end a separation, to try to avoid a separation, Angela, in your case, to go home. But again, from also not just tactically, but from a principled perspective, it's just simply the right thing to do. And getting back to one other point you made, it's not only the right thing to do in terms of your own principles and values, it's the right thing to do as a mother. Again, I found it ironic when you somehow were suggesting that going home might not be in the best interest of your kids. I completely don't get that. I mean, a separation is a very complicated, difficult thing for children. Very difficult. It's unclear. It's gray. It's confusing. And I can't encourage you enough, Angela, to go home. Thank God you're being invited. I would encourage you to pack your bags tonight and go be with your husband and reunite together with your family. I know there's still a lot of work to do, but you'll do it from your home where you should be.